Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Problem with that song, John, is that once you start, you feel like, I gotta give it my 7 minutes. Isn't that that song's pretty long? The full version of it, I think, is about seven. And the whole song is fantastic.
It is.
And also, I cannot listen to that song without seeing the video of, you know, at the end when it's the like upbeat rock part,
oh, yes.
And they're all moshing in the black and white for the, and, you know, so. Happy Election Day, 510 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and you can go ahead and pull it off. Pull the music off.
Why? I just wanted to hear it.
You want to let it go for the whole time? I know. Can't really disagree with you about that, frankly. I'm probably going to spend some time today. Let me tell you, the whole day is jammed up already. We got Governor DeSantis was on the show yesterday. We're going to hear that again at 5:30. We got Tappy Villain, Supervisor of Elections, at 6:30. I don't normally do this kind of roadmap of the whole show because I don't think people listen to the radio this way. You know, hey, coming up in 2.5 hours, why don't you check me out? Nobody listens to the radio that way. So it's kind of a dumb. It's one of those like old radio things that people never learned to was not effective, so they still do it. I'm just telling you so you sympathize with me a little bit on how I'm struggling to figure out how to structure the show. But at 7:35, we got, you know, Chip, as always, the sheriff. At 8:35, frivolous topic, guaranteed, on Election Day, every day, every Tuesday, every day. And then in between, we got all these front-of-the-hour topics, okay? At 7, if I'm willing to do it, we're either going to have my thoughts about democracy, which is, trust me, you know, I mean, I have a master's degree and study political science. You'll find it interesting. We're going to talk about the Joe Rogan podcast with Trump, which I have not had a chance to play those clips, and, you know, in about 14 hours is moot. And same with the Kamala Harris ellipse speech. I'm going to cover her speech as well, 6 and 8 respectively. So what are we going to do right now? I'll give you my 18-second version of what I'm planning to do at 7 o'clock, just so you hear it, okay, those of you who are listening right now. Democracy is a terrible system. And please don't call me with, it's a republic. Not, shut up. Just every time. It's so silly. Of course, it's a representative republic. It's a representative democracy constrained by a constitution. You know, it's a republic, yes, done democratically. We elect by majority vote. That's what it means. Anyway, democracy is a terrible system. A terrible system. You know this because here's what you know. There's very, very many people out there who are going to vote for the other side who are dumber than you are. Right? And there's at least a few people who are going to vote for the other side who are smarter than you are. How can that be true?
It is.
They're right? And there are very, very many people on your side who are dumb, who are voting. And there are a few people who are smart on your side who are voting. I mean, that just is. How can we be so split? How can we look at the world and be like, that is a blue sky, that is a purple sky, you know, or that is an orange sky, you know, or black sky? Like, how can it be? It just is. And, you know, the same people who are so... You're just going to have to pardon me for saying it this way. The same people who are so dumb that because they will put a ballot in the library book return drop box and we have to close the drop boxes to prevent them from doing it, those are the people who are determining the future of the country. Right? It's under my skin because I went to the library yesterday at 9:15 to drop off a movie. I'm like, ugh. These people again, dang it.
Wait, you got a movie from the library?
Oh, yeah. You can rent movies for free from the library. Oh. It's actually, they rent more movies than books anymore. I think. I mean, it's very.
I didn't realize
that.
Yeah,
you can get DVDs from the movies, from the library. Wolverine and Deadpool, by the way. So I'm going to have to wait till today, regular hours, you know, whatever. Okay. And they drop it off at the tax collector. They drop it off in the mail, even though you can't put them in the mail. I mean, they just, those people, right? The same people who, when you're at the store and it's a 20% off sale and it's a $20 item and they're asking you, how much is it? Let's see. Get out my calculator. What's, you know, the item is 415, and, you know, they can't figure out the changes from 5. Or the cashier who, and just, you, I'm only doing this because you know the examples abound, okay? But, you know, you go to the store and the item is like 510 and let's, or 590, let's say, and you're paying in cash and you give the person 615 and they can't figure out to give you back a quarter. Like, I don't know how to do that. Like, okay, people are dumb. But this system works pretty good for a couple hundred years. It does. It really does. It's amazing. Partially because, and by the way, people are wicked and virtuous. People are religious and irreligious. People are selfish and they're generous, and people are, you know, informed and not informed. Okay. There's our fellow citizens, all 340 million of them or whatever. And every couple of years, we get together and we play a game called elections. Right? And the game is better than the other game, which is civil war. You know, game A is civil war. Let's fight. And game B is ballot war. It's better. Okay? Fewer people die. It's significantly better. So it's a terrible system, but it actually works. And by the way, all the other systems are insane too. You know, hereditary monarchy. By blood, we determine who's the ruler. Are you kidding me? Or, you know, violent revolution. That's a fairly common system throughout history. Not a great system. Not the best system. You know, small group of people decide with the next group of small people, oligarchy or aristocracy, depending on which version, if it's money-based or land-based or title-based. You know, I mean, just all the other systems are terrible too. So here we are with a terrible system that is nutty. Nevertheless, it works pretty well. And here's my one I apparently decided to spend more than 18 seconds on this. But okay, fair enough. Here goes. It'll be okay. Whoever wins, it'll be okay. It's not that it doesn't matter. It's just the country is not determined by just the president or the Senate or the House or the local races or even the amendments. America will survive either way. Might be a little better one way than the other way, but America's going to be okay either way. And here's the thing. It's a chance for you to trust your fellow citizen. Because half of them agree with you and half of them disagree with you. Somebody's got to make a choice. We're not all going to win. And we're going to have to live with the probability that we're pretty disappointed in some of the results. And in the end, it'll be okay. It will be okay. You might be wrong. I might be wrong. The other side might be right. I might be right and they might be wrong and they might win. Okay. In 2 or 4 years, we'll do something else about it. That's it. And that's a realistic assessment of the thing. And when we come back, I can't. This presidential election is unreal. The former president had a campaign event. I don't even know how to say this. It's a 5 o'clock hour, so I'm a little bit more able to say things than after 6 o'clock. It's called not safe harbor hours. The president. I really don't know how to say it. Stroked the microphone at an event, and then used his own mouth bobbing back and forth to simulate an act at an event. And when we come back from the break, I'll tell you what I thought of that, which may surprise you, my take on that. But I'll tell you when we come back. I'm Andrew McKay.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha! Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You talking to me? You talking to me? You talking to me? Well, who the hell else are you talking to? Talking to me? Well, I'm the only one here. Who the hell else do you think you're talking to?
And her campaign drew attention to Trump's Milwaukee rally Friday night, where Trump became visibly frustrated by a faulty microphone.
Do you want to see me knock the hell out of people backstage? You want to see me?
They posted a short clip from the moment, suggesting Trump was making a lewd gesture.
Yeah, not suggesting. He definitely was. There's no uncertainty about this. He definitely was. And when I first saw the short version of this clip, where Trump is, look, there's just no delicate way to see. He's simulating oral sex on the microphone. But you got to hear the whole thing. You know, hear it. You know, trust me. Just, you know, walk with me for a second. Because when I first saw it, I'm like, oh, dear Lord. He's been on the campaign trail too long. way too long. Okay? So here goes.
It's the mic. Uh-huh. You got to be kidding.
He's complaining about the mic that's, like, just been messed.
Do you want to see me knock the hell out of people backstage? You want to see me?
Not an actual threat of violence, by the way.
I don't mind if they want to come up a little forward or something, but it's a pretty stupid situation, but that's okay. I get so angry. I'm up here seething. I'm seething. I'm working my ass off with this stupid mic.
This goes on and on.
I'm blowing out my left arm. Now I'm going to blow out my right arm, and I'm blowing out my damn throat, too, because these stupid people.
Having to overcome the mic problems.
I'll make you a deal. Pretend you're listening to it perfectly, and I'll come back and do another one, okay? With a decent...
And he whacks the mic. Stupid thing.
So stupid.
It keeps going.
And you know, the only thing I ask for, I don't care about lighting. I don't care about teleprompters, because I never read the damn things anyway. By the way, isn't it nice to have a president that doesn't need a frickin' teleprompter?
Trump. But then again, well, either way, with Kamala or Joe, right?
That's terrible. Is that better back there?
And he's trying to, he switched to a second mic, a handheld.
Yes or no?
But he's asking the wrong question.
What crap? The only thing I ask for is a mic. You don't have to give me, I don't even need a stage. I don't give a damn. Give me a good mic. And I went through two of these today. And it knocks the hell out of your throat. But so far I'm doing okay, right? Okay. Is that better? Yeah.
All right. And then here's the money clip. Here goes.
And did you notice I came in today. I said, and you know, this is after four of these things. I've been, in all fairness, I mean, I'm a human being, right? I come in, and here's the problem.
Okay, it's hard to, you can't see it, but the mic arm, the stand is like bent down, like too low. It's kind of pointed at his chest at this point. And so it's really too low for a guy who's as tall as he is the premise of the joke. Okay, it's too low. It's too limp. It's the premise of the joke. All right. And then. And then he starts to stroke it and move his head back and forth in front of it as if to encourage it to stand up a little straighter.
Way too low. Way too low. So I walk in, I said, there's nothing worse then I walk in like this, and I'm bent. Did you notice? I was bending over like this. Hello. And then everybody says, is there something wrong with his back? What the hell is wrong with that guy?
All right. So here's the thing. I fully expected this to be another moment where me, as a very critical, very reluctant Trump supporter, will think, oh, good Lord, this man. Good Lord. But when you watch it, instead of listening to it or listening to me narrate it, it was hilarious. It was the funniest thing. But in spite of myself, I was howling. So if you dare... Go watch, not just like the 10-second version, but C-SPAN actually has it. You can watch the 3-minute version. And honest to God, it was hilarious. It was the funniest joke I think he's ever made. Like, he pretended to give oral sex to a microphone, and it was the I don't know what to tell you. It was genius. Say, a candidate for president? I know. Oh, I know. And that's where we are in 2024. I don't know what to tell you. Yay, us. 525 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, how do I follow
no,
that?
No, you can't.
You know,
I mean,
I got to say, I spent years in the Army. I'm familiar with this type of humor.
Yeah,
okay?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know why? If you're like an anti-Trump person, if you're me, okay, and you think, why do so many people love him? They love him because he's real. Or even if he's fake, he's fake in a way that feels real.
Right. Well, I mean, for better or for worse,
he's
when
all
you get
the
a group
guys
of guys together,
yes.
This is the kind of humor that happens.
He's every guy sitting around with all the other guys after a couple of beers making their comments. And he
Absolutely.
Just says it out loud. And people love him for it. Even if they think he's crazy in the way that they understand. He's not the he may be total. It may be a total act, but it's such a good act that simulates a real person, you know. So
I had missed that yesterday, though. So thank you
this
for
is on
bringing
Friday.
That.
Oh yeah, you should watch it, and you tell me if I'm wrong about any part of it. Go ahead.
Well, former President Trump, speaking of him, is expected to spend Election Day in Florida, while Vice President Harris will be in Washington D.C. today. The Trump campaign hosting an election night watch party at a convention center in West Palm Beach tonight. But well, don't expect to go to bed knowing who the president will be. Many factors could affect when we find out who won the election. It could be, they're saying, several days before they are actually able to declare a winner tonight. And a missile test will be conducted at California's Vandenberg Space Force Base either late tonight or early tomorrow morning. A window for that routine test launch of an unarmed Minuteman III intercontinental ballistic missile will run anywhere from 11 o'clock to 5 o'clock in the morning Pacific time.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 527 here on News Radio 92.3. If you've got a plumbing issue, a leak, a drip, a weird sound in the wall, something's gone wrong and you got to take care of it, Barbary Plumbing, you know, low water pressure, the water doesn't heat well. All of these things are things that they can help you with. Flat rate pricing by the job, not by the time it takes. 477-8782. Interesting news notes. Joe Rogan's now endorsed Trump yesterday. After fake news running around that Joe Rogan was anti-endorsing him, refused. I mean, it's kind of funny. And like I said, later on, probably next hour at 6:10, I'll talk about the Rogan 3-hour interview with Trump, which I thought was very interesting. Very different perspective on Trump than you'd get listening to the rallies. I still to this day can't tell you why he does the rallies the way he does. It's just weird. But, you know, and people love it, apparently. And in some parts, even I have to admit, they're pretty good. Elon Musk, you know, the $1 million a day voter lottery where he's paying people, what was it, $47 if they live in not Pennsylvania swing states and they sign the First and a Second Amendment support petition if they're registered voters. And then in Pennsylvania, it was $100. But he also he said he would give $1 million away to some random person who signs up for this online lottery support for these amendments, right? And then they took him to court. Because they said, you're doing election interference. You're not allowed to pay people for their vote or their registration. And you're also engaging in an illegal lottery. This has got to be the weirdest, best story from yesterday. You know what the defense was? Well, we're not running a lottery at all. Because we picked the winners ourselves. They selected the winners. It was not a lottery. It was a fraud. And it's not election interference because they weren't paying anybody for their registration. They were paying people to become spokespeople who had been vetted, who had been signed non-disclosure agreements so they couldn't tell anybody else what was going on. But they said, you know, yeah, we're going to give you $1 million and then you're going to come up on stage and you're going to act happy. And so their answer to the lawsuit, which they're no longer doing it anymore, I mean, they're not doing it from here on out, so it's moot anyway, is they said, yeah, well, it wasn't a lottery to begin with, so it wasn't a lottery, and it's not election interference because we weren't paying people for their votes, so we're all good. It was just lying. I mean, you cannot make that up. That's amazing. And listen, as funny as it is, if it were being done by, like, George Soros, you'd be squealing about it, right? So always just keep a little bit of perspective in these things. I'm Andrew McKay. We'll be back in just a minute with DeSantis from yesterday.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Election Day 2024. More polls are opening in the eastern part of the country. Vice President Kamala Harris ending her campaign with a rally in Philadelphia.
We finish as we started, with optimism, with energy, with joy.
Former President Trump says he wants the election results tonight and we should be voting on paper.
And you don't have 12-day waits? And then what the hell's happening in the inside of those machines if you wait?
Trump in Grand Rapids, Michigan, where he's held his final rally all three campaigns. Tropical storms brushing past Jamaica and the Cayman Islands today, Cuba tomorrow.
South Florida feeling the effects of Tropical Storm Rafael today, which is forecast to become a hurricane briefly as it moves into the Gulf of Mexico and could impact parts of the Gulf Coast states this weekend.
Fox meteorologist Janice Dean. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. Partly cloudy, 72 degrees in Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. A 22-year-old man has been sentenced to life in prison for a shooting in downtown Pensacola last June. Rashawn Lamar Posey was found guilty of attempted second-degree murder and aggravated assault in that case last week. Prosecutors said Posey fired several shots at two men who were talking to women at a food truck downtown. One of those men was shot and paralyzed. The other man was not hurt. A second suspect was also arrested in the shooting, 25-year-old Warren Graham. He's due back in court on public order crimes and accessory after the fact charges in January. Santa Rosa County officials say a murder-suicide in Navarre last week was the latest tragic example of domestic violence here in our area. Sheriff Bob Johnson said a husband shot and killed his wife, then shot himself.
You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, it's her fault for staying or whatever. Well, that's not the mentality some people have. You know, some people think they're not worthy of the other person and you know, they have self-esteem issues or whatever, and just feel like they can't reach out for help. I mean, you can reach out to a lot of different organizations, but even law enforcement, we have a lot of resources we can bring to bear to help people in those situations.
And Johnson says most homicides in Santa Rosa County involve domestic violence in some way. He sent his message to anyone that's a victim of domestic violence that they're able to reach out for help because he says it generally ends up bad. Well, boaters around Florida being asked to be on the lookout for manatees. The FWC's issuing a reminder to boaters that this is the time of year when manatees travel to warmer water sites around the state. Despite their size, manatees can be hard to see, and boaters are encouraged to wear polarized glasses, go slow, and abide by manatee protection zones. Boat strikes are a major threat for manatees. If you see one that's hurt, contact the FWC. An investigation is ongoing after an alleged politically motivated attack that was on Pensacola Beach. A group was at the intersection of Via de Luna and Fort Pickens Road last Friday, waving signs in support of Kamala Harris in today's election when a passerby allegedly began yelling at them and stole a sign from Holly Shelton Snowden. When she tried to get her sign back, she was hit in the eye, leaving her with a black eye and broken glasses. She says she wants to see an arrest made.
I need it for myself. They don't let us say closure as therapists anymore, but I need closure.
And so far, no arrests have been made, but the Escambia Sheriff's Office says they are still investigating that incident. And we're learning about an odd crash that happened in downtown Pensacola last Friday. Pensacola police say a horse carriage crashed into a stationary vehicle and flipped over as several people were riding inside. That happened last Friday at about 9 p.m. The good news is nobody inside was seriously hurt. Officers say that crash was determined to be an accident. It is 5:34 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. There will be some showers as we go through the day today. 30% chance overall, high near 80 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 71. As you go into Wednesday, rain chances increase. 60% chance of showers, high near 78 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 72. For Thursday, 50% chance of rain, high near 80 degrees and a low near 71. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, we've got cloudy skies. It's 72 in Pensacola, 71 in Gulf Breeze, 71 in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Australia's central bank has held its benchmark interest rate at 4.35% for the eighth meeting in a row. The Reserve Bank of Australia wrote in its statement that inflation has fallen substantially since the peak in 2022, but also added that underlying inflation is too high. Meta has extended its ban on new political ads on Facebook and Instagram past Election Day in the U.S. Meta did not specify the day it will lift the restriction, saying only that the ad blocking will continue until later this week. The company said the policy is in place because it recognizes there may not be enough time to contest new claims made in ads. A Pennsylvania state judge has allowed Elon Musk's $1 million a day giveaway to swing state voters to proceed. Tesla CEO Musk has already given away $16 million to registered swing state voters who qualified for the giveaway by signing his political petition. Futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
Are you ready to experience healthcare that truly cares? At VIP Care, they're not just your primary care provider, they're your healthcare partner. Specializing in primary care for adults 65 and older, VIP Care's compassionate doctors focus on prevention, creating personalized care plans to keep you healthy and active. With four convenient clinics in Pensacola, same-day appointments, and a dedicated on-call provider available 24/7, VIP Care makes healthcare easy and accessible. Visit getvipcare.com to find a clinic near you.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Florida cares about women and families. Last year, Florida provided nearly $500 million to support pregnant women and their families. No woman can go to jail for having an abortion, and abortions are available before a child's heartbeat is detected, and in cases of rape or incest, and at all points in pregnancy to save the life and health of the mother. This message is sponsored by the Florida Agency for Healthcare Administration and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay.
Mayor D.C. Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Andrew, glad to be here.
Andrew McKay, mornings at 5.
It's time to talk with our good friend Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
I'm glad I don't have to say that real fast every day. Good morning.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 before Pep Talk.
Julio Diaz always gets us up to speed on the movies that are coming out. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
By your face, John, that you don't quite have it. You recognize it, but you're not sure.
Not yet.
It's the music from JAG. Because we have the governor of the great state of Florida is on the line with us. A former member of the Navy Reserves, a former JAG officer. Of course, he worked with SEAL teams real closely. But Governor Ron DeSantis, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Well, it's great to be here. I know you guys just had the Blue Angels, big show, and I know that's a treat.
Absolutely. I didn't know if you loved JAG or not, or if you know that was even a show you watched. I just figured that that would be fun music that maybe not very many people.
You know, it's interesting. Not really, but that's pretty catchy music and stuff. And so it's interesting. You know, my kids are football fans, second grade, first grade, and pre-K, and so they're big Florida State fans, which has not been for us this season, but. I've gotten them excited about the Army-Navy game. I've tried to explain to them, and so they're learning like anchors away and everything, and so it'll be interesting to see. I've never gone to the Army-Navy game. I was actually on the board of the Naval Academy before I became governor, and I just never made it. I always had things that came up, so I'm going to try to get that done at some point. I know we got a lot of great Florida midshipmen that are up there from Florida, so we'll see what happens.
Absolutely. Oh, that's so cool. And, you know, look, hey, there will be better years ahead for FSU football for sure. So obviously we wanted to have you on to talk about some of these amendments. You have been on a statewide push to cover particularly Amendments 3 and Amendments 4. And we've had other, you know, members of your administration, you know, Ricky Dixon was on, and we had your one of your senior advisors on last week to talk about Amendment 3. We'll get to that one. I wanted to start with Amendment 4, though, just because I haven't had anybody on from your administration talk about this. Somebody out there hears about Amendment 4 and they think, I just don't think the government should be restricting mine or my friends or my child's access to abortion down to 6 weeks. This would do what, and why are you opposed to it?
Well, one, this is being funded by far left groups out of state, and foreign money has come into this. And so this is Soros. This is all the organs of the left trying to make their imprint on Florida. So the way I tell people is this is an amendment to the Constitution. If you're 100% sure, unless you're 100% sure this is going to be good, you vote no, because you can't unring the bell. You can't fix a constitutional amendment through ordinary legislation. And so I think the default has got to be no. They got to prove to you why this is something good. And first of all, they didn't define any of the terms. If you read the amendment, you don't know what any of the terms mean. They could have defined them like they do, like people typically do in these amendments. They chose not to. What does it mean in terms of protections for unborn? No protections allowed whatsoever, basically. They say any elective abortions through viability, which they would define at 26 weeks. So you could have 6 months in. Perfectly healthy baby, heartbeat, can feel pain. And those abortions at that point are dismemberment abortions, very painful for the unborn child, which ultimately that should matter if you're causing harm to somebody else. But then there's a loophole that would basically allow elective abortions all the way till the moment of birth, like in Colorado, like in California. And people sometimes say, well, those don't happen. They do happen. There's tens of thousands of late-term abortions that happen in the United States every year. The majority of them, by far, are elective. In other words, they're not medical reasons to be able to do. Second, they talk about a health care provider. If you read the language, that's very important, because there's people that aren't pro-life that say, look, you know, they don't support protections for the unborn. They think the mother and the doctor should make the decision. This amendment would say a healthcare provider could green light a late-term abortion. And so obviously there's a whole host of people that would qualify to be healthcare providers that are not medical doctors. So you would end up having some of these abortion clinics being quarterbacked by non-physicians. And that's going to be very, very dangerous and really crazy that you would put that. But that was a deliberate choice that they made, because they'll make more money this way. This is an industry after all. And then it eliminates parental consent for minors. So in Florida, they can't give your kid a Tylenol without you consenting, but somehow this, which is something that's much more momentous, they could have a non-physician green light a late-term abortion without a parent consenting. And what they're doing is they're doing a bait and switch. They're saying, oh, you can have parental notification. But notifying the parent something's happening is not the same as the parent consenting. So that's a repeal of rights for parents. And then the final thing is just this industry, when things like this pass, like they did in Michigan, they will go into court, try to find a liberal judge, and they will sue to be able to have taxpayers funding these abortions, which is just totally unacceptable. So if you're voting for Amendment 4, just understand, you're not voting to just tweak an underlying law in Florida. You are voting to impose a very radical regime, but to impose that for all time to where people wouldn't be able, you know, the legislature wouldn't be able to go in and reinstitute parental consent. So it's a horribly written amendment, and these are people from out of state that really don't have Florida's best interests at heart.
You know, one of the things I said about this amendment was that if they had simply gone for 20 weeks or 24 weeks or something like that with no other flaws, the ones that you laid out, I think they probably could have won with a pretty sizable majority. I think it would have had a much better chance of passing. I'm terrified that this one might pass, but all of the things that you noted, all of the little changes in words that make big changes in legal standing are the main flaws in this. And I love, one of the things I've been trying to tell my audience the same thing that you said, which is constitutional amendments should get voted no on unless you're absolutely sure that it's right, it's written right, it has to be done in the Constitution, and you're willing to take the chance that it can never be changed or revoked because that's what constitutional amendments do. I think that's the right analysis across the board. We're talking to Governor DeSantis. Everybody says it DeSantis. I know you say DeSantis. I try to say the way you say, but I don't always succeed. Does that ever bother you, Governor DeSantis, that people say DeSantis instead of DeSantis?
No, that honestly is the normal pronunciation. It's just, you know, when I'm like people like will look me up online or go to my website, they will spell it D-I or D-A with that pronunciation. And so I just got in a habit of when I'm giving out my information, you know, that I try to say it the way it's spelled. But DeSantis is basically the way that it's typically said.
I never knew that. So, OK, so you yeah. did that. You say it wrong on purpose so people can spell it right. That's so fascinating. All right. So we know the flaws with Amendment 4 and why you're opposed to that one. Let's talk for a second about Amendment 3 with marijuana. This similar kinds of problems. If you just read the ballot summary, it looks very straightforward. We want to let people use, you know, marijuana on their own and keep the jails from being clogged up. But the actual language of the bill is fundamentally different from just that, right?
So, again, how did this amendment get here? Okay, it didn't just grow on a tree. This amendment was written by the CEO of a mega weed corporation. They have poured $141 million and counting into this effort of corporate funds. They would not do that unless they were trying to get a payoff on the back end. And so this amendment is drafted in a way for them to maximize their profit. So, and it's not about your freedom, and it's not about good policy for Florida. So, for example, you'd have the freedom, quote unquote, to possess and use marijuana, but only if you buy it from them. They do not give you the right to grow your own. They also don't limit public consumption of marijuana. So if you're a Floridian who, most Floridians don't care if people are smoking marijuana and their homes or anything, but they want to be able to walk down the street, be in restaurants, all this stuff without having this clouding up everything like it does in Denver and all these other places. And so you have a situation where that freedom is going to be infringed upon. And so I think that freedom should be respected. But one of the giveaways of how this is just a corporate takeover attempt, and you will not get this if you read the ballot summary. You actually have to read the text of the amendment. And if you read the text of the amendment, they give themselves total immunity from civil liability at all aspects of business operations. And so if they sell you defective weed, you can't sue them. If they have a traffic accident with one of their weed trucks, you can't sue them. I've never seen that type of immunity put in to an amendment or certainly even in statute. And again, this is in the Constitution, so you would not be able to fix that by legislation. And you hear people say, oh, yeah, Amendment 3, it's flawed, but the legislature fix it. No, they won't fix it, and they can't fix it because of the way this is structured. But then you also have the arguments that they're making in favor of it. They say, well, people shouldn't be in prison for smoking marijuana. There's nobody in Florida's prison system for use of marijuana or possession of personal amounts. And they also say this is going to be a boon for education and all these other things. There's nothing in the amendment that gives assent to education or law enforcement or anything. That's just totally fabricated. And the experience in Colorado was that they actually have not ended up raising money over the long term. I think maybe initially they raised some, but what happens is
when you regulate and tax, it raises the price. And so the black market ends up getting bigger. That's what happened in Colorado. It's what happened in California. That is absolutely what would happen in the state of Florida. So it's a horribly written amendment. So even if you're for weed, this is not the way to do it in the Constitution. Basically to service one company. If you're indifferent to weed, this is going to cause big problems for Florida's quality of life. And if you're against weed, obviously, you know, you would want to vote no.
I did want to ask you a question that has come up in sort of media critiques of you on this, because you're obviously using state resources of various kinds to advocate against Amendments 3 and Amendments 4. And the critique has been that the governor shouldn't be putting his finger on the scale, shouldn't be using state resources to oppose or favor an amendment one way or the other. What would you say to those folks?
Well, first of all, I think a lot of what they're saying is false. The ads that are up against Amendment 3 saying vote no on 3 or vote no on 4, those are not paid for by taxpayer funds. Those are all privately raised donations. And understand, the other two sides on 3 and 4, they've spent over $250 million trying to change Florida's constitution. We've been able to raise some money, not even close to that much. And I just think that's important to be. Now, we also do things traditionally, things like public service announcements. So our Department of Transportation has a budget to run ads every year, and we have been running them, letting people know about driving while high, what that does in terms of increased accidents, insurance premiums, all that. But that is all money that is funded and that we would traditionally do. Now, we can do it in different things, but because this is an issue, but those are not ads that are advocating against Amendment 3. They're public service announcements. Same thing with Amendment abortion. They are running ads, the pro-Amendment 4 people, saying, talking about rape, talking about ectopic pregnancies, miscarriages, all this stuff. None of that is impacted by Florida law. So they're putting out really brazen lies that I think puts people in jeopardy. I mean, if somebody is pregnant and has a miscarriage and they're being told by these liberal groups that you are not allowed to get medical care in the state of Florida, I mean, that is outrageous. And so there have been a lot of public service announcements just saying what Florida law is and talking about what resources are available for expectant mothers, talking about the exceptions, talking about how not only a physician has a right to treat, but has a duty to treat, and they'd be committing malpractice if they weren't. So that's totally appropriate. I think that people, you know, unfortunately think lying is a good thing, and that was the least that we could have done to do. But all the commercials that are saying vote no on these things, you know, those are all privately funded, but everything we've done has been 100% appropriate.
Yeah, and given especially on Amendment 4, the number of lies that have been told about what current Florida law is, because it's actually very reasonable, the current Florida law, I appreciate those. That makes sense. I mean, the governor, just like the president, has the opportunity to use his bully pulpit and certainly to stand up to clarify what existing law is.
Think about it. You know, we've worked hard. Florida is like, you know, just think of what, all the stuff we've accomplished. You know, we have people pouring in here, which I'm not necessarily advocating for because it gets crowded. But I mean, Dick, we are attracting people above their feet because we've had success, education, crime, all across the board, you name it. We've done it. So why, as governor, would I want to put in 5.5 years of my life, I'll do another 2.5, you know, as governor, why would I want to have work hard to do the best I can and then to have us become California through the back door with these interests pouring in $250 million to change our constitution? I think both amendments are bad. They're horribly written. They're being put by people with an agenda. But I think it's also critical that if these pass, then you've basically just told somebody, you don't have to win an election in Florida for governor. You don't have to win state legislative races. All you got to do is flush $125, $130, $150 million into trying to put your agenda in Florida's constitution. That's why I think they're both going to fail, because I think Floridians look at this and say, well, wait a minute. You know, all these people are like the Amendment 4 money, some of that's foreign money. 1630 Fund is funded by a Swiss billionaire. They've put in, I think, $15-16 million. All the money on the Amendment 3 is one company has done 95% of it. They've done over $141 million. Trulieve, is that the way we want
our society and our constitutional system to work? No, of course not. So not only do I have a right to be involved in this, I have a duty. This is, I was born and raised here. My kids, I have young kids, they're going to grow up here. And I want Florida to be the best that it can be. And these amendments would not do that. It would be, they would both be harmful for the state. And I'm not putting my finger in the wind. I don't know. Yeah, I think they're both going to fail. But when we started, they both were relatively popular, right?
Right. And that was my finger in my wind. Original
I'm
concern.
I'm going to lead, and we're going to get the job done. And I think people are going to be pleased at how these turn out tomorrow night.
Well, Governor Ron DeSantis, thank you so much for the time. Personally, thank you so much for what you did, especially during COVID, leading Florida through that in an extremely effective way. I appreciate it. And tell your kids there's better years ahead for FSU. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
From your lips to God's ears. Thanks, brother. See ya.
You bet. 5:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You know, I wasn't intending to ask him the name question, but I'm so glad I did. Wasn't that a fascinating thing about that he pronounces his name wrong in order for people to know how to spell it? I didn't know. I have never heard anybody report that before. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, where to go to start the process, I recommend Frontier Motors. And the reason is because they they're going to treat you well. They've got good quality used cars, 1 to maybe 3 or 4 years old with 10 to maybe 50 or 60,000 miles, what they specialize in. Cars that you're going to buy fairly young, but, used, one or two owners maybe. And then you're going to drive them, if you're like me, you're going to drive them for 10 to 15 years after that. Cars that they stand behind, A-quality cars, cars that they warranty to 100,000 miles in 10 years because they want to make sure that you're trusting that you're getting good cars. A lot of times you go to a used car dealer and it's kind of like, you're hoping to get out of there with your skin and your pocketbook and also a car that runs a little bit and doesn't just blow up on you or something, right? And, of course, when you go to Frontier, all of that aside, because they're going to tell you the bottom line price, very easy. They're going to make sure to stand behind the car, and they're going to at least if it's like my experience, follow up with you after you buy it to make sure you're happy. After you buy it. 6 months and a year later, I got calls from our sales guy, Calvin, making sure that there was anything wrong with the car, that there wasn't anything wrong with the car. There was. They fixed it. It was easy. Like, what? A year after we bought the car, a used car place. So that's the kind of place they are because they're in it for the long term, for the relationship, for the repeat business. Not in a year, but in 5 or 10 years when you want to buy another car. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, where you can meet up and wine all you want. Costello's has all your fall barbecue needs ready for pickup, from Wagyu tomahawks, Wagyu chuck steaks to quarter pound colossal Wagyu hot dogs, briskets, pork butts, and so much more. At Costello's, you'll find all the best forehead sandwich meats and cheeses, plus everything ready from charcuterie board to chicken salad and the best dessert pies, all at Costello's Butcher Shop Deli Fine Wine and Cheeses. Find them today at the corner of Lillian Highway and Fairfield Drive in Pensacola.
Hi, I'm Ron Helms, and I'm running to be your next county commissioner in District 4. I'm a long-term business owner, military veteran, and ordained clergy. As a fiscal conservative and Second Amendment supporter, I have a passion for public service with strong community engagement. As your next county commissioner, I will have a strong impact on crime and gun violence, affordable housing, and combating high insurance rates. I'm asking for your support and your vote on November 5th.
Paid for by Ron Helms, Democrat County Commission, District 4.
WSRE PBS invites you to attend the Joyful Noise Gospel Celebration, a Foo Foo Fest event featuring New York's Sing Harlem Choir, other featured performances, and the Joyful Noise Gospel Competition among local music groups. This afternoon of inspiring song is happening at the Pensacola High School Auditorium from noon till 5 on Saturday, November 9th. Admission is free, and there'll be food trucks on site. Don't miss WSRE's Joyful Noise Gospel Celebration on Saturday.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays a Weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
Actors, ho! Helen Hunt!
Samuel Jackson!
Matt Damon!
Good morning, 6:58 on News Radio 92.3, Informative, Local, Dependable. I Choose is the name of the song. See? A lot of political-oriented songs today, even if they're not so obvious. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines on Election Day. David?
Well, Andrew, it might seem a little early, but apparently the first precinct has already reported. It's still too early, though, to declare a winner in this. The township of Dixville Notch, New Hampshire, with six residents that live there, have reportedly all cast their votes, and they're still going through the thorough count.
Split 3-3. They split 3-3. NBC was reporting it this morning that is, you know, half of them went for Kamala Harris, half of them went for Trump.
Well, the fighting continues.
Which seems about right. That's, you know, welcome to the microcosm.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.